This is Midday Magazine for Tuesday, April the 14th. I'm Angela Denning. A Juneau jury has returned with a verdict in favor of the defendants, City of Hoonah, in a wrongful death lawsuit stemming from the murder of two police officers. The 7-woman, 5-man jury deliberated for about 6 hours Friday and again yesterday. They considered whether to award damages to Haley Tokuoka, Year-Out, and Matthew Tokuoka's 4 children. Their attorney alleged that Tony Wallace's training and conduct provoked John N. Marvin Jr. into shooting both officers in August of 2010. Wallace was on duty at the time while Tokuoka was not. Jurors had long, special verdict form to fill out in the course of their deliberations. The first question was whether the shooting of Tokuoka arose out of and in the course of his employment as a police officer, and juries answered yes, and they were finished with the case. They did not advance to questions about the shining of Wallace's flashlight as an investigative act or whether it was an act of negligence. Trial started March 31st in the civil case. Marvin was convicted of 2 counts of murder and later sentenced to 198 years in prison for the crime. A Coast Guard helicopter crew rescued a hiker early Saturday morning after she went missing from a lodge on Chichagof Island. According to a report from the Alaska State Troopers, 55-year-old Gretchen Bishop of Juneau had gone for a hike on Friday evening in the area behind the Gull Cove Lodge. She was reported missing about 2 hours later after her dog returned to the lodge without her. Gull Cove is located on the north end of Chichagof Island off Icy Strait. The troopers requested help from the Coast Guard just before midnight on Friday. A helicopter was dispatched from Air Station Sitka at about 12:35 a.m. Saturday. The crew searched for about 2 hours and was about to return to Sitka to refuel when they spotted Bishop on the shore of a riverbed about 1/2 mile south of the lodge. The helicopter was able to land to pick her up. The Coast Guard reported that the weather at the time of the rescue was about 36 degrees with 17-mile-per-hour winds and snow squalls. Bishop was reportedly showing signs of hypothermia but was otherwise uninjured. She was flown back to Sitka for medical care, landing at about 4:15 Saturday morning. Petersburg School Board is meeting tonight for a regularly scheduled meeting. The school board will consider passing a new policy for student nutrition and physical education. The policy would tighten language encouraging healthy eating at the schools. The policy has already had a first reading and has been reviewed by the district's attorney. The school board will consider the changes in the second reading tonight. Also at the meeting, board members will be going over the contracts of the administrators, non-tenured certified workers, and exempt workers. They will also recognize 2 resignations, that of Joni Johnson and Deborah Tice. Superintendent Erica Klutpainter will conduct the election of the president of the board since former President Gene Ellis resigned. The new president will then conduct the election of the vice president and secretary-treasurer. School board members will also hear administrative reports. Superintendent Klutpainter will give the board an update on the kitchen remodel project. She'll also give an update on legislative bills pertaining to schools. The maintenance director and school principals will report to the board as well. The activities director, Jamie Cabral, plans to report to the board on the project to complete and update the all-state sports signs in the high school gymnasium. The school board meeting starts at 7 p.m. in Borough Chambers. KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting. We will also hear from school board members coming up here in Campus Connection. That's a call-in show that'll happen after the newscast. Last week, the Sitka School Board passed a budget on first reading that includes an additional $1 million in funding from the city. But the Sitka Assembly hasn't yet voted on whether to give the district that money. And if they do, it's not clear where the funding will come from. Options range from eliminating sales tax exemptions to cutting library hours to selling the senior center or putting a tax increase on the October ballot. The school board and assembly opened that discussion in a work session last week. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports from Sitka.
School Board President Lon Garrison set the tone for the meeting by reminding the assembly that the situation is dire.
Can the school district pull a rabbit out of the hat one more time? No, it can't. There's no more rabbits in the hat, and the hat's almost gone.
The Sitka School District is facing a deficit of up to $3.3 million out of a $20 million budget. That's a shortfall of about 17%. The deficit comes in part because of state budget cuts. The House and Senate combined have proposed about $80 million in education cuts statewide. That translates into about $900,000 in cuts for Sitka. Meanwhile, federal Secure Rural Schools funding is also up in the air. That's another $660,000. The remaining deficit comes from increases in the cost of benefits and pay raises negotiated with employee unions, plus the fact that the city has funded the district at essentially the same level for at least 5 years. The budget passed by the school board cuts 3 teacher positions, though the district hopes to achieve those cuts through attrition and retirements rather than layoffs. It also cuts half a position in the district office. A divided school board voted to spare the Blatchley Pool and Community Schools programs by taking the district's reserves down to its absolute minimum. But all that assumes the city comes through with the additional $1 million. On Thursday, City Administrator Mark Gorman emailed assembly members a list of options for how the city might come up with that funding. The list includes eliminating sales tax exemptions or lifting the sales tax cap, doubling the tobacco tax, imposing a vehicle registration fee, and service cuts like reducing the library to 5 days a week or selling the senior center. Assemblymember Tristan Gavon said it's also time to consider raising property taxes.
We've talked about the increase in the millage rate. I think another idea worth exploring is an increase in millage rate for non-residents. I think if you can own a second home in our community, you can help pay for schools, you can help pay for roads. Other communities have municipal income taxes. Can we institute a municipal income tax on top income earners?
Meanwhile, school board members pointed out that they are currently shouldering the burden for resources used by the whole community. School board member Tim Fulton said he's not sure how the schools came to be responsible for funding the Performing Arts Center, Blatchley Pool, and Community Schools program. He voted to keep the pool and community schools, but he said it may be time for the community to chip in more.
These are all stuff that are hitting our budget and taking money away from educating our students. I mean, it's good stuff for the students, but it's good for our community as well.
Last year, the city gave the school district about $300,000 for community schools and the pool. Another $79,000 has come in through user fees. That leaves the district responsible for about $375,000, largely in utility and insurance costs. Assemblymember Michelle Putz suggested that perhaps it's time to charge users more.
That it seems like it's something that you could this year add into your budget, that you're going to increase the prices and that you're going to expect the users who are so adamantly wanting it to help pay for it to at least help your budget.
Toward the end of the meeting, school board member Cass Pook addressed the elephant in the room.
And if I say anything to offend anybody, that's not my intention. But I'm gonna kick myself on the way out for not being honest with you guys. And so this comes from me, not the rest of the board, but I've been frustrated that we have not been funded to the cap.
That's the state cap, which limits how much a municipality can spend on its schools. Last year, city funding was about $1.8 million below the cap, though that figure doesn't include the $430,000 the city kicks in for community schools, the pool, and student travel. And that means even if the assembly approves the additional $1 million in funding this year, the city will still be below the amount it could legally contribute. Meanwhile, Garrison told the assembly that as tough as this year is, next year will likely be worse. The state is in such dire financial straits, and it's not going to pull out of that for a decade, he said. We're going to be dealing with that for a while. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
And the Sitka Assembly will discuss its contribution to the school district budget at its meeting tonight at 6 p.m. The school board will then meet tomorrow to take a second vote on the budget. 58 high school students, along with their music director, Matt Lenhard, will be attending Music Fest this year. They leave today for Juneau. KFSK's intern Rosa Lopez has more.
This music festival runs April 16th through the 18th in Juneau. It's an opportunity for students to perform what they've been working on all year. Lenhard says it takes months for them to prepare.
I use the whole year to get ready for music festival. I always kind of I know where to bring each group. I know where I want them to be starting in September. And I want, by the time we get to music festival, I want it to be an exciting program for each group. I want there to be a variety of songs. And I think I got it with all three groups.
The three groups are the jazz band, concert band, and concert choir. Linhard has been to Music Fest 16 times and says the three-day event is packed full of learning experiences for the students.
Yeah, it's just this continual buzz of activity. It's a hive of activity of musicians. All the musicians of Southeast Alaska, all the high school musicians of Southeast Alaska come together in these sites, and you've got, in the morning, you've got some solos and ensembles taking place. And you can be an audience member, you could be participating in it, kind of signing up days in advance. You've got sound checks going on the main stage where your bigger groups like jazz bands and choirs, orchestras, and bands are testing out the stage. And in the evening from 6 o'clock till about 9:30 or 10, all these schools are all those three nights are performing in a formal setting. And they're performing for three adjudicators at one time. And those adjudicators are giving them a critique. And after their performance, they get to work with the group. And on top of that, there are some clinics going on to make you a better musician.
There are a couple smaller groups of student musicians who are also performing at the music festival: the trombone and euphonium ensemble and the clarinet ensemble. Linhard says this group of clarinet players are very dedicated.
I've been impressed with this clarinet ensemble that's been practicing every day after school for a few weeks now. I've given them a piece to play for extra on their own time. It's not easy, and they're rising to that challenge and coming together as a unit. That's what I'm really proud of.
The clarinet ensemble includes senior Josie Randolph, sophomores Alexander Bless and Brandy Mulberry, along with freshmen Elisa Larson and Jasmine Yermia. They will be performing this ensemble during the music festival.
A challenge that I have every year is, you know, keeping the integrity of the group together. And that means that if you're in an ensemble, I'd like you to be able to attend this event because I want to display Petersburg's best. I want kids to have their grades up. I want them to be academically eligible as well as, you know, not under any suspension and any other kind of conflicts, because we're the best when we're all together. And that's what I want to show our adjudicators and the rest of Southeast Alaska.
While the district pays for the adults going to Music Fest, each student will pay their travel and activity fee. Petersburg residents will have a chance to see these student musicians at home during their spring concert, which will be scheduled for after the festival. For KFSK, I'm Rosa Lopez.
And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.